There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sabres working in behind the net. Got a man in front, scores. Jiří Kulík goes to the front of the net, and he tips it in, and the Sabres have tied the game at 2 with 11:18 to go in the third period.
One of the Firth moments of the game. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. Jiří Kulík, big day for the Sabres, and a come-from-behind win against Vancouver, in which they wore beautiful jerseys, by the way. Anyway, that's your moment of the game brought to you by Firth Jeweler.
I think it really is remarkable that Josh has gone from a player that was known for chaos and he's gone into control. A player that was known for reckless and he's gone into just aggression. A player that at times early on was careful and now he's just really smart with the football. And no, he wasn't remarkable when it came to the statistical performance. But in reality, the difference to the game is one team took care of the football in an incredibly high level, yeah, and one team didn't. And to beat an all-time great offense with the number one ranked defense, and that's who Baltimore was, that's what was going to be necessary. They called it and they executed it that way.
Dan Orlovsky. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Development, we are now streaming the show live on Twitch and YouTube. There are cameras in here, and for better or for worse, folks, they're showing our faces. Listen, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I don't know that I signed up for that. No, it's fine.
R.I.P. Well, the face for radio joke.
Well, I mean, R.I.P. We're going to hear about 50 of those in the next hour. And it's not that I didn't sign up for it. I don't know that the listeners signed up to see our faces, but whatever. We're each wearing hats today that on the stream, this one that's kind of funny. If you read our hats left to right on the stream, it says Buffalo Bills. I'm wearing a I'm wearing a Sabres hat that says Buffalo, and you're wearing a Bills hat that says Bills.
That's right.
And it says Buffalo Bills on our hats. So there you go. So you can follow us on YouTube and on Twitch, and we'll get you all that. WGR Sports Radio 550 live stream on YouTube and on Twitch. We are Buffalo WGR 550. So I'll send this link, and it'll be, the modeling contracts are coming in. The clothing contracts are coming in. There you go. We're talking. We actually kind of started today talking about the Bills and the Chiefs and the bandwagon and the idea of everybody jumping on the Bills bandwagon, but also the Patriots' hateability and the Chiefs' hateability with that as well. So if you want to chime in on that, you can. To Dan Orlovsky's point, I'm glad you played that, Josh, because – yesterday, we played a clip from, I think it was Nate Burleson, and he said, Josh Allen showed his maturity by not lateraling a ball to James Cook. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, come on, let's not act like he laterals every play, and Allen, in that moment, is all of a sudden smarter and more mature. And it's actually the film stuff that made me feel more about Allen's maturity. Listening to Joe Marino, who we'll talk to at 7:30 today, talk about Allen taking what's there, how the Ravens played cover three a lot, and he didn't try to get it all back in one shot. He did the whole thing. He did it last year, too. We've seen the mature Allen who is able to take layups when he wants to and doesn't go Superman mode unless he needs to. So that kind of made me feel more about the maturity point and Allen and the kind of quarterback that he is now. He'll play any kind of game. And I feel like, you know, when it comes to Allen, Joe, people have total faith. There's not many that wonder about his role in a game like this.
He mentions there like how Allen was chaotic and turnover prone coming into the league. Has that been overstated? Was it one game? Because I'm looking, even in college, that was his reputation, right? Do you know of the five first-round quarterbacks where he ranked in interception percentage that year?
Of those four?
The five, including Lamar Jackson. Where did he rank? His senior season in college. Where was his interception percentage?
Oh, in college?
Yeah, that last year going into the draft, where did he rank in percentage of his passes that ended up in interceptions?
Oh, I don't know.
Second best.
Second best in college?
Yeah, only Mayfield was better. He had a lower interception percentage than Lamar Jackson, than Sam Darnold, and then Josh Rosen did. And then he got up to the NFL, and okay, he threw 12 picks in his rookie year. Rookies will do that. And then if you remember about that 2019 season, he was kind of a game manager. He really didn't turn the ball over in an extraordinary fashion, and then you got to the playoffs. And I really do wonder, because that was a lot of people's introduction to Allen. The Bills were not a huge draw yet, so it was a narrative about Allen, and then maybe a couple of plays that looked ridiculous, but it still didn't really totally show up in the numbers. He was not Jameis Winston throwing 30 picks, but then he went to Houston, and he lateraled the football, and he threw a double-covered Hail Mary to a fullback, and it's like, wow, this dude is nuts. He must be totally reckless. And I'm not saying he's not at all, but I feel like it's been overstated what he was early in his career on this. He never took sacks, really. Right. He was always good with pressure. That's one thing he really didn't have to get a lot better with. He took more, you know, again, like there are incremental improvements, but I don't know. I'm not telling you it's not impressive what he's done. I just think the turnover problem was never as bad or as important as it was sounding.
I agree with that. There's also been some to point out that his interceptions are not like others because they're down the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you live where I do, which is that punts are turnovers, man, you don't care about turnovers nearly as much. So it's always been something I felt was overstated. You know, I don't know how often you've ever heard me get on Allen for interceptions or turning the ball over. If he fumbles, that's different. Like, to me, that's avoidable. But yeah.
He did have fumbles. He had some fumbles early in his career. Quarterbacks will often have a ton of fumbles. Like the top 13 fumblers in the league this year, I think were all quarterbacks. Right. So they touch the ball.
They get sacked.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us and 1-888-552-550. You can stream the show on Twitch and YouTube now as well. Or just listen here, listen on the Odyssey app, all that good stuff. Mike in Rochester's up. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Fantastic.
Great.
Burleson is he's trying pretty hard to get back into the Bills Mafia after he picked the other team to win the other week. So seems like he was trying pretty hard in this last time we heard him. My wife works for an HR company out of Boston. She works here remotely in Rochester, but she works out of Boston, and they're all Patriot fans. They know that she's a big Bills fan, and they're totally, totally pulling for the Bills on this one. So, you know, even the Patriots are rooting for us on this one.
Well, that's...
So, yeah, got that going for us. So.
Mike, do we want that?
Yeah, do we want it?
You know, here are Patriots fans, and I'm pulling for you guys. Like, hey, well, get out of here. You're not welcome here.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, really. Hey, another thing, too. Does the roster size change at all for the playoffs? Or does it stay the same?
It stays the same. Mm-hmm. The only difference is you get unlimited practice squad elevations.
Yeah.
But everything else is the same. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. One thing, I forgot this about the first Chiefs, speaking of roster size and all that stuff. I had totally forgotten in the first Bills-Chiefs matchup that Spencer Brown didn't play.
When?
In the first Bills-Chiefs game this year. Spencer Brown didn't play.
He missed the game?
He did. So did Keon Coleman, and so did Dalton Kincaid.
Okay.
I had totally forgotten about that.
Oh, yeah. Brown did not play that game.
It is a great example of when you win, you kind of forget things. If they had lost, we might say, well, Spencer Brown didn't play.
They didn't have Spencer Brown. They didn't have Coleman. They didn't have Kincaid.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're missing three
starters.
They
didn't have
Milano. They didn't have Milano, right? Yeah. They might not have Milano this week. I don't know. Maybe they will. We're going to find out the mystery with Matt Milano. But anyway, 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-552-550.
It's amazing they were able to throw the ball 40 times successfully without Coleman or Kincaid on the field.
And Spencer Brown.
That's kind of how the season's developed.
Yeah.
By the way.
Gina in Delaware. Hey, Gina, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm here to give you your Mid-Atlantic report. So your Mid-Atlantic report consists of, geographically speaking, Delaware being within 3 hours of Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Philadelphia. Therefore,
oh, wow, yeah.
America. Okay, so here we go.
You're like in the cradle of conference championship week, kind of.
Cradle me, baby, because that's where I am. And I'm going to tell you something. When I go to work now, I'm Bill. I'm Gina. I'm not Gina anymore. I'm Bill. Because everybody says to me, yo, Bill, go Bills. They all say, the Commanders, the Eagles, the Ravens fans at my place of work, listen, we want you all to win. In America, a Commander fan said to me, America wants to see the Commanders and the Bills. The Chiefs, this game to me, guys, this game to me is my Super Bowl. Now, do I want to win it? I think of that story. I remember the Titans as my jam. And the little girl at the end of the show goes, Coach, Coach, I want to win it so bad. That's how I feel right now, guys, like a little girl just pleading, saying, Coach, I want to win this so bad. We not only need to win it for the mafia, we need to do it for America. I see Josh Allen, Captain America, and that sign as you're coming down the 90 where I get so excited because I'm waiting for my Milano's pizza waiting for me or my bocce pizza, whatever it is, I want that, particularly when I fly into town and I see, what is it, Buffalo, America City, whatever that says, Josh Allen with his Go America. Let's go. America wants the Bills. Let's go, boys. Go Bills.
Thanks, Gina. I was thinking about it, like, without going too far, that whatever, the Bills and the Chiefs are not actually some sort of evil authoritarian empire over the NFL, but I don't think it's too far a leap to say they are the reason that the Ravens-Bills discourse got toxic. They are the reason that Josh and Lamar gets toxic when people talk about them, because nobody else wins the AFC. Mm-hmm. And the Bills doing it, I almost wanted to kind of ask a question, because earlier in the year when you and I talked about this at training camp, there are a lot of Bills fans that do not want anybody but Mahomes to win one before Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And once Allen wins one, I feel like that would soften on everything. Like, sure, fine. If Lamar were to get one, that'd be great. I'd be happy for him. Or if Burrow were to get one, then fine. I'd be happy for him and for them. You'd be happy for a lot of fans out there. The Bills represent in this game, and I do think that there's truth to this about like being America's team or whatever. The Bills represent hope that someone other than the Chiefs will win something. That is everything the Chiefs end up winning, whether it's Taylor Swift at the games now, and people aren't, I don't think, mad at Taylor Swift specifically, but it's just another thing piled on. Oh, they have something else to bring them more attention?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I want someone else to be in the spotlight for 5 minutes, and, well, hopefully it's the Bills. 803-0550 is our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. To join us. Sal, coming up top of the hour, we'll prep for Media Day, where everyone's going to talk about this upcoming matchup with these teams that have known each other so, so well. So stay tuned. Sal, 7 o'clock. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30.